cliffcentral.com.
Gotta let the play. That's all. Good morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. I'm Siya Sangweni with Leanne Moll.
Good morning, Leanne. I'm here.
Good morning, Ben Kopinski.
I'm awake. Don't ask for more.
Oh. Is that just the cap for Friday morning? We're here. We're in one piece. Gareth is away. He's still in London and he'll be back on Wednesday. But nonetheless, the team is here and we're going to get your Friday started one way or another.
Is he back Wednesday, like on the show, or back Wednesday in the country?
Yes, he's back Wednesday on the show. He's flying back and landing on Tuesday afternoon/evening.
He's catching a bit of the Wimbledon.
Have you also noticed how Gareth? Have you noticed how Gareth flies business class?
Oh, does he?
Fancy, huh? Yeah.
Fancy AF.
Look, I think he's living his best life.
Like, you're fancy AF all day business class. That's not like, oh yeah, I just got Golden Circle tickets to the concert because I really like the band.
Yeah.
Like, business class is like, it's business class.
Yeah.
But
he's swooning in there with his AirPods and Evian. Oh. What?
Because Valfrey just doesn't cut it. No. But I'm sorry, once you've tasted a bit of that...
Oh, it's very difficult to go back.
Shucks.
Bollocks. You try pay business class. Tell you what, you go back to economy very quickly.
Yeah, if
yeah, to be honest, somehow, I've never paid for it.
Yeah.
Wait, have I... No, I've never either. That's what makes it even better. You get to experience business class and someone else is paying... That's the best of
you know,
life.
I flew business class once on KLM. Mm-hmm. Well, many times, actually.
And they give you a spliff?
No, but they'd give you these
that
little...
That would be real convenience.
These little Dutch houses made out of ceramic right at the end of your trip. Mm-hmm. And they're all different sizes and the windows are different and the architecture's different. And they've got a special number underneath and you collect them all. Oh. I managed to get two. But... Once on one of those flights, I was sitting in business class and they fed the passengers through business class to cattle class. And I was looking at these people's faces and I actually got really upset about it. These little kids going, oh, mummy, look how nice the plane is. Oh, my God, my heart broke.
No, just keep walking in.
With thousands of people
put your
boarding,
AirPods in.
I eventually started crying.
Really?
I was that upset. I was like, no, this is so unfair.
So what did you do? Bury your sorrow and verbally go?
Straight away. Immediately.
Because one of our colleagues here the other day actually confessed that they've once been on a flight where he was in economy and it just so happened that the closest loo happened to be in business class.
Still not allowed to use it.
And that's it. The cabin crew actually made an announcement saying, excuse me, no, we do not appreciate all of the economy people use a loo.
Economy poo smell way worse than business poo.
Because of what
so
you're eating.
Embarrassing.
And also in business, you've got all these little delightful things to spray onto your face and your bum and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, you're wiping your hands, there's warm towel, there's a doodah for this, that and the other.
You know, even though I am... Okay, I'm probably still in the 1% of the world because people live in like complete poverty. But I have no problem with this whole class thing at all.
No.
And I have no problem like, it's, sure, I can't afford business class, but I love that business class exists. Like most of the, like 0.5% of the world can afford business class, but it's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great product. It's like, we're taking you flying, but we're going to make you feel fancy AF.
See, I don't... I think I echo your sentiments, Ben, because I really don't have this whole, not that I don't feel bad for people, but I think if you are in a position where you work really hard, or you know the right person, and you know, then you have the perks of it, then sure, go for gold and experience it. I don't think I'd cry over others not.
No, I think Leanne should have been slapped in the face and readjusted.
Look,
this
I did get over it quickly.
Ridiculous behavior.
But when it was just terrible at the time.
Yeah, because these things, you think they don't matter, or you think like, oh, they're not really important up until you experience them. So I've had the same bank account for the longest of time, thinking, well, I'll never upgrade because the banks are just after my money and they want to charge me for more. But recently I just bit the bullet. I thought, oh, screw it, whatever. The opportunities are there. So let me just upgrade my account.
Oh, I know how much money you earn now.
By the color of my card.
Private wealth, anyone?
Let me just say it's my favorite color. Anyway, so I upgraded my account, and that comes with certain perks, including, you know, going into the slow lounge.
That's the only perk. I'll stop you right there because I was thinking the same thing this week, right?
Woo! No, it's not the only perk, Ben. I'll tell you why.
There's so many
because
others.
I am that because of what I used to earn, and things then changed. And when I'm in a spot of trouble now, I don't get harassed like I would have before I was on the big black card.
What do you mean?
The bank kind of leaves you alone and they just cover it for you, you know? Like, don't worry, we know that you've got money coming in.
Yes.
We know your clients pay late.
It might not be here right now, but you know.
We know, so don't worry. Like that. We'll just pay that debit order for you.
Yeah, okay, they'll do that for a bit, Leanne, as in like, yeah, cool, we're friends now. Like 2-3 months down the line, if it ever happens again, they'll be kicking your ass out of there.
Well,
like,
it's been 2-3 months.
They'll be kicking your ass out of there like an economy in business class toilet.
Oh, no.
No, I don't know. And also, who you know again, you know?
Well, look, this whole thing, all these things are like, you know, you get a private banker and you get an offshore account opportunity. Yes. It's like, how much money do you think I have? Oh, but we'll help you with your next home loan. Oh, okay, yeah, because I'm just going to buy a house next week.
How many homes do I have?
Because I've run out of other things to buy. And I get that. I mean, always trade people up, give them more stuff. That's how capitalism works. I'm all for it. But ultimately, you got to pay that extra 400 a month for slow lounge.
Well, yeah, I've
that's a lot of
I've
pussing.
Crunched the numbers a bit.
That's a lot of pussing before your flight to re-justify the money.
Absolutely.
But also you can draw money from any ATM and not get the extra charges.
You see,
so you're already saying this so much better than the bank person tried to.
The reason why I say I crunch the numbers, when you look at things, when you look at the convenience and when you look at what they want you to do as opposed to the output that you get, I think it really is worth it to upgrade in some cases. So boy, have I done that, and I've been milking it. You know, like with my bank and the account that I'm on now, they say if you're going to use the slow lounge, you can only be there for max an hour.
Yeah, bullshit. Exactly.
My previous flight, I got there 3 hours. I'm like,
you must have dazzled someone at the front desk because they generally tell you to piss off until an hour.
I was like, for all of these bank charges.
He doesn't
charges.
Even have to try and dazzle, Ben. He just does.
He just goes in there and spritzes his cologne all over the place.
Cologne.
Let's just indulge this topic for like one last point. What is the best and most luxurious thing you've ever experienced? Like money can buy experience.
Sure. That's that sounds like homework to really come up with a good answer. Yeah, I feel like I've been quite fortunate. I've experienced a lot of luxury in my life.
Yeah, I straight away go to hotels, and yes. I've had like 3 or 4 trips to the Seychelles.
Leanne wins.
Which were paid for.
Leanne's and a winner.
We stayed on Eden Island, which it's is
all
this like.
Listen to her.
Idyllic little island. Oh, gosh.
Leah just crapped on any story we could have had.
Sorry.
No, carry on.
As you were.
I'm not jealous.
How did this social pan out?
Just things like knowing the head chef at restaurants and him sitting down with you and chatting and bringing you. You don't have to look at a menu. He knows what you like, and he just brings you stuff. Yeah. Those sort of experiences I've had.
Okay.
Right, Charlene from Monaco just throwing out some stories here. I agree though. Like there's certain things like
going to a party with Bob Geldof in London, red carpet. Should I go on?
I don't know. I don't think you should.
No, go for it, because CS got that weird look on his face. Like he's not sure if he's actually being polite or he just hates you right now.
Kind of glazed over.
It's great. I love this look.
Okay, just one more story. Where else have you been, Leanne? Who did you see? What did you drink?
you know.
She doesn't want to brag.
Just,
yeah.
She doesn't. I don't know, spending time with Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf. You know, shall I go on?
You see, for me...
were they massaging you? How are they luxurious? Now you're just being a name dropper.
For me, I think what matters most to me is knowing the right people. You know,
there's
things money can buy, but then when you know the right people in a money situation...
Have to.
Ooh, everything just gets better.
Yeah.
Just last night, I was at a private book launch of Anthea's book. Now, we know how...
Yeah, nice segue from Leanne's life. Oh, yeah, I was an exclusive editor.
That's nice, Sia.
Book signing of Anthea Gardner.
You must have loved that.
No, I'm just going to provide context, but yes, this is...
It's so hard to find.
It just fuels my point of, it's so nice to know the right people. So, you know, Anthea, we're very friendly with her, but she knows even more exclusive people. So this is in Hyde Park. And I got there and Anthea spoke about her book a bit. And we were just now mingling and was at a restaurant where the head chef, as you were saying, Leanne, came over, was always checking on our table. Are you guys okay? Can I bring you more bubbles? And I'm like, oh, sure, okay. So this isn't like a Sia thing. This is a Anthea who knows the head chef of the restaurant who's being so nice. See, for me, that's the experience.
Yeah.
And it's one of those restaurants in Hyde Park where they have the waiters and waitresses. Then they also have them come and massage you if you'd like.
Ooh. That's nice.
Asian restaurant then.
Yes.
With a
string
curtain at the back for if you want more.
Leanne, take it there.
Did you just really have to like...
Well, I don't know. That's where my head goes. I can't help it.
I know. It's your head and some other things. Anyway, so we'll get into five things that you need to know in a bit. It's No Politics Friday. And boy, oh boy, was it a big political week. So now it's nice to just be able to talk about everything under the sun.
What are these dipshits steal this week?
Yeah, there was just a lot. The burning platform yesterday was a little heavy. We discussed, you know, what's happening in Etegwini municipality with the mayor there being suspended for 30 days and whether she will or won't come back. It's a week after, you know, it's just a little couple of days, actually not a week directly.
Spoiler alert, she comes back with full pay.
Well, she's currently out on 50,000 rands bail, but anyway. Also, just a couple of days after the G20 summit. So, yeah, we discussed all of those things on the burning platform yesterday with Pumi and Kanthan. And then it's also been Wimbledon this week.
Oh, of course.
Are you quite a Wimbledon-y person?
I watched some yesterday.
Yeah, see, look, there's certain events in the world of sport, which I don't care if you like sport or don't like sport or you just like humanity, whatever. They're just perfect. Like, England in summer is amazing. I mean, you know, you were there last year. In the few days that they have where the sun actually shines and the rain does not fall, it is a beautiful place. And Wimbledon is just perfect. Everything about it just looks so good. It's like pure theatre.
Mm.
Like yesterday was one of those matches where, you know, it's Wimbledon at its best. It was Nadal versus Kyrgios. And it was just like the crowd was there. It was packed. It was just beautiful. I love watching that stuff. I really do. It's up there with like the Masters, the Ryder Cup.
And I wonder, though, because Gareth is going to go to Wimbledon.
I'm sure he'll, because his family's there watching some games.
He's probably necking cocktails with Prince Harry.
Yeah, you know, when Meghan Markle's there, she was wearing an necklace as a tribute to Archie.
Oh,
God, so common.
I was just going to say, that's cute.
Or did she pick it up at a souvenir store on the way?
I find that very cute. Thank you very much.
If you grew up in a trailer, yeah, sure.
Hey, don't say that because of father.
That's her family, yeah.
At a point, there might have been something like that down the line, but we aren't going to judge them for that. And then, yeah, so a lot going on in the show this morning. What are your weekend plans, by the way?
Is it weekend?
It's the weekend? Where did that come from?
You guys are so overworked. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm just overwhelmed this Friday.
Yeah, for me, it's just like... the emails will slow down and I can work at a normal pace. That's what it really means.
Oh, shucks.
No, I'm pretty excited. I've got very little plans. Two of my friends are immigrating, so I'm going to see them. That's about it.
Oh, no.
See ya?
Well, I just found out I have a lot of friends who are still into the Durban July.
And still? But then again, that is your generation, though.
No, it's not a thing. So they kind of went down in my friend rating. But the Durban July is happening this weekend. And I think this is like the perfect weekend to go out in Joburg to not have like 40,000 people, you know, at a restaurant as you're waiting for, you know, a reservation, or if you're going out to party somewhere, there aren't tons of people. So I think like a lot of Joburgers will be leaving the city.
What's your sort of like go to Joburg go out Joel plan? Like, do you have clubs that you still go to, bars you still go to?
Yes.
But like, do you go there because you really enjoy it, or because you just don't want to be at home?
I imagine
no,
so.
Because I enjoy it.
You do the have dinner at 9 thing, don't you?
Yeah.
9:30, yeah.
Yeah, but
Sia's the, oh, is the kitchen still open?
Yeah.
Kind of person.
My Uber driver's still waiting outside, but I'm going to finish this cocktail while my rating drops.
Explains why I'm on like a 4.01.
I'm like far too anxious for that.
Why? Anxious for what?
Well, I can't upset people. Yes. I'm a conformist.
You're polite.
I'm compliant.
No, it doesn't mean I'm not polite, Ben.
Well, what does your score say?
No,
just look at the numbers.
Your score says otherwise.
I don't like this anymore. No, but you see, going out is such a general term. It's like, where are you going out? Who are you with? What do you want to do? Do you want to chat? Do you want to dance? Do you want to just get drunk? Do you want to have a mild evening? So it depends what sort of evening I'm out for.
I've noticed how much, I'm sorry, but you millennials need to be somewhere that's new.
Of course, it's like clothes. Why would you wear something dirty and old?
So would you not go to an establishment that's been open for 10 years and delivers consistently excellent service?
Because no one new is there. Plus, place don't last 10 years.
Yeah, and it's been there, done that. Like, then everyone goes there. So
yeah,
it's
you
not
see, this
cool
is where
anymore.
I think that the national group of restaurants, that's like Coobs and the National, etc., and the Federal.
Getting back to your hoity-toity life again.
And Il Contadino. Oh. It's actually one company.
El Expensico, yeah.
But they keep on opening up these smaller little brands in these restaurants, and then they close them down and open up a new one. It's like
jorts.
I'm
or like
totally ignoring you, Ben, by the way.
Yeah, you've always got to make something new that people talk about.
The new trendy place.
Yeah. And also the media. The media is only interested in newness. They're not interested in something that's been around for a long time.
Well, I think that's always been how things are, actually.
Alex Bensico, I like that. we have some messages this morning on WhatsApp. Okay, so someone says, I'm always having an economy poo this time of the morning.
Yeah.
And
look,
then,
an economy poo gets things done. There's also that.
And then they also completed that by saying, free cocaine and hookers at Lolly's house. I don't know what that means.
Still?
Oh, that was the luxury experience.
Oh, yeah, that shit can also kill you. So you just weigh that out. I don't know if it's worth it. And then Fern says, hi guys, listening to Google talk about eating rabbit, purveyors of the delicacy are required by law to keep their head on.
Oh.
So that you can be sure you're eating rabbit and not cat.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes,
you're
I've heard
welcome.
That. Oh, it's so sad.
Is that a real thing?
My tenant has a pet rabbit. I just can't imagine it.
Okay, let me not even get down the road of anyway. Who actually does that, because I don't think.
But yes, that's very true. I remember now. They leave the head on for that purpose.
Ooh. And then let's also get into some listener emails. We have some people who emailed us. Here's one. Someone says, so I'm a little behind on the podcast. I blame my sick child. That's
nice. See children here. What a drain.
Well, actually, I blame the other morons who send their kids to school when they are sick and infect my child. But hell be bygones. Anywho, I listened to the disturbing story about Sia's friends who share shit. Holy hell, what is wrong with people?
Okay, so those are the ones that share toothbrushes. And we also spoke about sometimes being on the loo in the same room.
Yes.
While the other one's showering.
Some people can share bath water.
Yes.
This isn't exaggerating. I know a couple who've done that before. And so Gabs continues to say, I've been with my baby daddy for 13 years and we have, from the get-go, had the understanding that you stay away from the bathroom when the other person is in there. We even have different colored towels so we don't get them mixed up. Wow. And have a situation where I wipe my face with the spot that has touched his balls, vomit.
I'm even grossed out by my own towel sometimes. I'm like, which way should I hold it again? But you do get these towels that are half brown and half like blue or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
How much have you used that towel?
I don't know. You know.
No, but
it's like, what if you go in the dark one night, drink some water, and then wipe your face, and you realize you've used the brown side.
And your bum towel.
See, my mother has two different towels. She has a face towel, and then she has a rest of the body towel that she uses when she's in the shower.
And I've got a hair towel and a hand towel.
And then Gabby continues to say...
You've got more rails in your bathroom than a paraplegic one.
Well, then this is... El Expensico.
Oh, this is El Fancico Leanne here.
So we get to see a whole new different
My life is certainly not luxurious. It's very well rounded out by shittiness.
What she was trying to say is I have a neighbor who has a whole rabbit farm.
Yes.
That's what you were meaning to say. And then she says, we are not OCD, but the bathroom, toothbrushes, and all things within are sacred. People say we are freaks, but rather a freak than a disgustingly gross person who could be the reason that society is as fucked. Well, wow. That escalated very quickly.
It did.
She says, much love, Gabs. Okay.
Okay. I'd like to stay at Gabs's house.
You need to make sure you use the right color towel.
I'd be very happy with that.
You wouldn't want to be that person who uses the wrong thing. That actually doesn't sound too extreme to me. And I thought after our conversation, though, I kind of get why some couples get that close and well acquainted. Because after so many years, it's just like, yeah, okay, run of the mill. We're getting ready in the morning.
It's not cute.
You might be taking a shower and I just need to
quickly use No.
That level of comfort. I'm not making excuses for anyone. I don't know if I'd be the first one to jump and do something like that, but it makes sense. You know, I look at the way my parents interact after I'm 24. So they married 35 years this year. And they just like, they'll pick at each other's plates and eat off each other's plates, and they'll just, you know, share things all the time.
You're very lucky to witness that, because it's not representation of the reality.
It's not hygienic, you mean? That's what it is. All right, let's get into the five things that you need to know this morning. And it's No Politics Friday, so it's everything but what's happening in politics all around the world. So the first story that you need to know this morning, there's been an earthquake in the US. Did you hear about this yesterday?
California.
Yeah, since now people are back on social media and there isn't a shutdown.
A lot of natural disasters in California recently with all those fires, now earthquakes.
It's always like that though. It's just, it's pretty scary.
God doesn't like trendy people. You've come to realize
this. But Ben, the same happens in...
What are you going to say? Parkhurst and Maboneng are now going to be hit by a natural disaster.
Well, we know Maboneng is a disaster, but I mean, just natural disaster, other things. Okay. Parkhurst is next, yeah.
Parkhurst.
So Southern California was rocked by its largest earthquake in 2 decades yesterday. It was a 6.4 magnitude tremble that caused substantial damage at a military facility, but otherwise only minor injuries in the sparsely populated areas. There were only minor injuries in the sparsely populated area. So it was a shallow quake that was followed by dozens of aftershocks that struck.
Yeah, apparently like 100 aftershocks.
Yeah, can we say hundreds and not dozens then?
Yeah.
If that's the case. Yeah, this happened near the small city of Ridgecrest at around 10:30 in the morning their time. So it was felt 160 miles away in Los Angeles as well, and even as far afield as Las Vegas in the neighboring state of Nevada, as the United States actually celebrated its Independence Day yesterday. So although the quake in the most populous U.S. state of California revived fears of the big one, which was a powerful tremor along the San Andreas Fault that could devastate major cities in Southern California, President Trump was quick to reassure that this wasn't it. President Trump actually said, all seems to be very much under control.
Sorry.
The big one.
Still talking about the earthquake.
Yes, I knew it. Yeah, he tweeted that all seems to be very much under control 2 hours after the fact. And then the second story that you need to know this morning, well, the Department of Justice and Correctional Services said implementing full body scan, there will be implementing full body scanners at prisons, and this would actually assist in combating smuggling. So these scanners would be rolled out at 7 facilities across the country by the end of July, including Paulsmoor Prison in Cape Town. Now, the prisons chosen have the highest numbers of inmates and are known for smuggling. So the project would be rolled out to more facilities in due time.
Is this because the people that work there are just tired of checking prison wallets?
I don't know how this works. An official.
So it'd be like after hours of looking up arseholes, and now look, let's get a machine in there.
But I also think it's about visitors as well who.
Oh, prison wallets. I get it now.
Yeah, your prison wallets. You don't go in there with much, Leanne.
Leanne, I'm from the hood, I know how that works.
God gave you a prison wallet.
Okay, I've got it now. My cousin, the doctor, she found a bottle of Aromat up someone's prison wallet once.
A whole can.
Yeah, she saw it on the x-ray and she was like, okay, we need to take a look.
Couldn't you have rolled out one of those refill sachets instead?
Had to pull it out.
You can just cough and then we'll move on to the prison wallet. Oh, look, there's your Aromat.
What was he thinking? But they do this so that they can get into the hospital bay.
Well, in my mind, though, I think these scanners are more for visitors as well. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, because they might be bringing in really good Aromat.
I don't think they'd initiate these full body scanners only for criminals who come in every once in a while when new ones are shipped into the prison. But I think there are more transactions between visitors when they come in. Because I know this is horrible. I know someone who's once loaded up booze in a 2-liter cool drink bottle for someone. And it was like, I think, vodka or something.
Jesus.
They just put a bit of soda water so that there were like some bubbles. Because the person was just like, look, I can cope being in prison, but I just need some liquor. And that's what they did for them. So, yeah, I don't know. Just so
wow.
People in South Africa will just always find a loophole for something. You know, it's just that shitty thing. So the official department spokesperson said people find very creative ways, there we go, to smuggle these contraband. So these body scanners will be able to penetrate and scan through any substance. They also continue to say we all have the responsibility to ensure that we abide by the law, especially at correctional facilities where we are in the process of rehabilitating inmates. We cannot be the same people who are contravening the law and perpetuating unlawfulness.
Sounds reasonable.
All right. Yeah, I wonder how much it will cost. But for now, I think it is something that they have to do. And if it's in the testing phase, then so be it. Sticking to some South African arrests, while protests continue at Plat Bay, where police have arrested a total of 28 people since Tuesday. So these people have been linked to public violence and burglaries and stolen property as well. The police's Chris Spies said members were in the New Horizons area on Wednesday night, and Chris said public order police as well as crowd control management was deployed in the area. The police arrested suspects in regards to public violence. Investigation to these allegations are still at a very early age, and more suspects may be arrested as the investigation unfolds. So Spies said a group of people also attempted to close the airport road at Kranshoek near Plat Bay on Thursday morning, and in conclusion said, we will remain in the area until we have a stable situation. We want to urge and appeal to the community and those that participated in this action to act within the law.
There you go.
Yeah, they're moving with the times and they just aren't like wasting any time with these protests. Going to some global news now. The number of fresh outbreaks of African swine fever China has dropped significantly this year. Well, this is something to at least.
That's good news.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry, you say swine flu nowadays. And
swine fever.
Swine fever, flu, whatever.
Anything to do with the swine.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
Gets people going. And pig production is gradually returning to normal. This is what the Vice Agriculture Minister said amid recent reports underscoring the threat of the disease. So African swine fever is deadly to pigs, and there's no cure or vaccine for the disease, which has swept through China. By the way, China is the world's top pork producer since August last year. I didn't know that. The world's top pork producer. Okay.
Well, it makes sense. They've got so many people. You got to feed them.
Well, asked about reports of recent fresh outbreaks of swine fever, the Vice Agriculture Minister said China has seen only 44 new cases in the first 6 months of 2019. So that brings the total number of cases China has reported so far to 143, with 1.16 million pigs culled. This is what the Agriculture Department has said to media recently. And then finally, this is something I've just been monitoring this week, seeing different articles pop up around it. But the Human Rights Commission is probing the city of Cape Town's decision to fine homeless people for sleeping on the streets. Homeless people face penalties of up to 1,500 rands for offences.
How are they going to pay that?
If they had 1,500 rand, they probably wouldn't be on the street. They'd be,
somewhere in a hotel for the night. I don't know.
For offences such as obstructing pavements and doorways. So the outdated and arguably callous bylaw means the very people who have almost nothing are having to pay up or face jail time. So some homeless people say they're being treated like dogs. The city's adamant that it's playing its part in accommodating those who live on the streets. So JP Smith from the City of Cape Town says, we have created a space where people can easily access such assistance, such as showers, toilets and accommodation, and they can structure the accommodation as they see fit. We are fairly lenient on the rules, plug them into job opportunities, reintegration and counselling, including personal grooming. I don't know of any other local authority that has gone to the level to accommodate homeless people. Hmm. Human Rights Commissioner Chris Nissen said the city needs to find new strategies to deal with the homeless in a more humane way.
Hmm.
Well, every city's got this homeless issue, right? Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in Auckland for the 2011 Rugby World Cup, they just took the homeless away for a while. As in, like, they rounded them up, they took them away, and then when the tournament finished, they suddenly were back on the streets. So this is very difficult to deal with this. I just think it's the worst possible press to now say we're going to fine them.
Yeah,
it's
bad.
It's just shooting yourself in the foot.
And we know just how prison systems are. So now you're taking more and more people into prison systems, and their life will be affected by something like this, really forever. But this is quite a big claim for the city of Cape Town to make, because they're standing by their decision by saying, we have accommodation, we have these programs already in place, we have people who are willing to help. So
yeah, I mean, look, if you look at it like that, then you'd be pissed off if people are still just sleeping anywhere. Because if you're providing something, which is obviously not cheap, and it's not being used, then that's annoying.
Yeah, this is, I still think it's quite a big thing to say, because they're standing by the word. They aren't bowing down to this. They're actually saying, so actually, wait, Cape Town, what you're saying is there shouldn't be any homeless people on your streets at all, because you have enough programs, money, accommodation for every single homeless person to be catered for somewhere, somehow. That's what I'm understanding by what they're saying.
Well, then they must be rounded up and taken to these places if they don't know about it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think homeless people have data.
Mm.
I don't know if they're on the homeless person WhatsApp. So they might not know about these things. It might just be a pure communication job.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure if you say to them, you can go sleep over there in a house, and they go like, no, I want to sleep next to this pile of piss here on like a windy street.
Yeah, I just pretty don't sure think they would. It doesn't sound all too humane, and it's also not the best.
Great. Well, get hipsters in Cape Town to coax people into the right places then. It could be like that game, Pokemon Go. It's like Homeless Go. You go around Cape Town, you find homeless people, and you take them to these sites.
Oh my gosh, Ben.
Sounds like a lovely weekend out. And then you get a selfie with one, and then you go have a smoothie with no plastic straw.
Yep. So has that element and touch of great humanity there,
Ben. Center Communities here, that's me. I'm all for it.
I know, that's your middle name. Ben, let's get into some sports, why don't we? What are the headlines?
Yeah, well, distract Ben as soon as you can.
Yeah, things are really hotting up at Wimbledon. It is the Women's FIFA World Cup final this weekend. As for the Super 8, be the same. And we get into the semis of the Cricket World Cup. Right, let's start with tennis, shall we? Now, defending champion of the women's is Angelique Kerber. Well, she's gone. She was thrown out like an old dog, like a Cape Town homeless person, to court number two yesterday. Now, she's won Wimbledon last year, right? You'd think that she'd have slightly more respect than that. But no, she was thrown out there because there's just so many other games that people want to watch. And she was absolutely hammered by some unknown woman. I say unknown. She's about 5 foot tall. She's American. I think her name was Davis. Laura. Lauren. See, I mean, just an unknown woman from America. She looked, I mean, Kerber looked like she just didn't actually give a toss. She was sluggish and moody, and she's out. So that'll open up the draw on the bottom side. Of course, the top side, number one seed is Barty from Australia. And Serena Williams is still there, although I don't think Serena's going to go too far. Some 18-year-old girl took a set up for her yesterday. And, well, you know, she's getting on now. She's getting quite long in the tooth. And sport is a young person's game most of the time, unless it's snooker or darts or clay pigeon shooting, none of which Serena Williams participates in. On the men's side, though, well, I tell you what, that game yesterday between Kyrgios and Nadal, that was very entertaining.
Yeah, as we all know, he had a bit of a bad attitude, hey?
Well, he doesn't. He's just got a Kyrgios attitude. Now, look, obviously he's the biggest dipshit in tennis, but I can't help it. I mean, I wanted him to win yesterday because I just find Nadal is so boring. He's probably my least interesting tennis player I've ever seen. But he's an absolute machine, isn't Nadal? I mean, he just keeps playing and playing and playing, and the point is just never really done with him unless he wins it. So Kyrgios, to his credit, was doing his usual thing of, you know, power and a bit of showmanship here and there. But Nadal just wound him down. Just wound him down and ended up winning that one. I think it was 3-1 in the end. So he'll go on to take on Joe Wilfred Tsonga. Now, Tsonga earlier in the tournament beat a guy called Tomic. Now, you think Kyrgios is a dipshit. Well, this Bernard Tomic guy, so he's Australian as well. And 2 years ago, he said he was bored when he got beaten by Zverev, the young German. And he's like, well, I don't care. He was just this whole woe-be-me millennial bullshit. So in the first round against Tsonga, he was actually had his prize money stripped because he just didn't give a toss. He was just, it was unsportsmanlike expectations, I think there was deemed, like he didn't play to a professional level, and his prize money was taken away from him.
Hmm.
I mean, just think, like, you're playing sport for a living, right?
Yeah.
I know that isn't always the easiest thing, and you make all these other sacrifices to do it, and you got to travel and all this kind of stuff. But you know, like, if you get knocked out of the first round, you make something like 800,000 rand at Wimbledon. Yeah. That South African guy lost to Federer. He made like more than Bafana made in the bonuses for getting the second round of their tournament.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know, just grow up here or just, I don't know, wasting people's time. Otherwise, no real big sort of upsets just yet. Federer is still there. He'll be taking on Lucas Puel today. And on the top side of the draw, Djokovic will be taking on Herkskaz. Herkags.
Herkags?
Herkags.
Okay.
He's taking on her cags.
Taking on her cags, all of them.
All cags are hard to beat.
Yeah, so that's Wimbledon for the weekend. We're still in that lovely phase where the courts are all nice and green and lush before they come a little bit weather-beaten and start looking a bit like Camilla. But that's what you can look forward to. The Royals will be in attendance. It is finals weekend in Super Rugby, which means the Crusaders will be taking on the Hakamwalath at 9:35 tomorrow, Saturday morning. Now, I tell you what, obviously the Crusaders' backline with that just talent to burn in every position is going to be something to watch. The forward pack, the Jaguars, they might actually edge them there, but you got to think that the Crusaders are going to be the better team here. They're playing at home, which is a huge advantage for them. And of course, when anyone travels to the arse end of the world, which is Christchurch, they're at a massive disadvantage. So the Jaguars are coming from South America. They've traveled... I mean, they've traveled more than Gary Player has this year, this team, because they're based in South America. They've got to go to SA. They've got to go to Australasia land. And now, in the back of this, they've gone back home to Argentina to play a quarter and a semi. And now they've got to go back to New Zealand to play a final. Cheap as they are, must be on first-name terms, or at least intimate terms, with air hostesses at this stage. But there they go. And I, for one, would really love the Hagawalath to win, mostly because I can't spare standing by watching that Crusaders coach Scott Robertson breakdancing. God, these guys are so working class. It's dreadful. I just don't need another Crusaders win in my life. It'll be three in a row they're going for. And also, I don't like New Zealand rugby. There, I said it.
Oh.
I think they're a bunch of bitches and they're dirty as all hell.
Oh,
I also said that.
Wow.
Other World Cup stuff to look out for. Well, we've got cricket and we've got the FIFA Women's World Cup. Yeah, and where would you like to go next?
The Women's World Cup.
Yes, of course. Yes, well, it'll be America. It'll be America, USA versus the woman from Netherlands, the Hollandse woman. Now, this game will take place Sunday at 5 o'clock. And I tell you what, there is bugger all chance that these Dutch women are going to win this. If you're looking for an upset, this could be it. USA soccer for the women is just such an incredibly powerful machine, and it has been for a while now. Now, I know prior to this tournament, we all were excited about Banyana going over there and doing something, but they're very amateurish, right? These girls have to have jobs, and it's still early days, and it just hasn't been enough development and progress with them. But this USA women's team, like, this is a professional, proper unit, well-oiled. The players are confident, the players are accomplished, and it's actually good football to watch, I've got to say it. I know I'm not the biggest fan of women's sport because I don't think I've got anything against women. It's just that there's so much better sports for the way I like sport out there. But I've been watching some of this Women's World Cup. It's been fantastic. That semi-final between England and America was very, very entertaining. Very entertaining.
Hmm.
Speaking of England, they'll take on Sweden in the match that no one cares about. That is, of course, the third and fourth place playoff. And that'll be Saturday at 6. Now, we're going into cricket. As you know, there's a World Cup on at the moment. And Pakistan, they are trying to get into the semis. Well, They can't. I know that they will finish level on points with New Zealand if they beat Bangladesh today, but they have to beat Bangladesh by at least 316 runs. So basically no. Why is this, you ask? Well, they were so completely decked in the first game against West Indies. They basically lost twice to them that day. They were rolled out for like 100 runs, and then Chris Gayle and his mates came out and just swatted it around for like 10 overs. So they were absolutely thrashed. So is this a fair system, net run rate? Because in regulation play, Pakistan actually beat New Zealand. So if they were to come down to level points at the end, you would think head-to-head record would come into it. Yeah, sure, but net run rate has been a deal in cricket for quite some time. And it also encourages you to get a bit of a move on. So your net run rate's in question. You've got to bat purposefully. You've got to bowl well. You've got to look to bowl teams out. So the system will stay. Australia have qualified, so they'll go on and essentially play New Zealand in the semi-finals, or can South Africa beat Australia? Can they, Sia?
That's a good question, Ben.
It is. I do ask many of them. But that'll be taking place on Saturday. Now, there's a lot of grudge matchery to look out for here, because, of course, the last time these two teams came to blows with David Warner and Steve Smith in the team was the sandpaper debacle. And obviously, they played each other before this again, but those guys were banned after that. So Australia versus SA, that'll be at, I think, 1:30 on Saturday. It'll also be Imran Tahir's last match, so I hope he gets 9 wickets for 7 runs and just sprints all over the Aussies, and I hope that it ends in a victory for SA. Chances are very slim though. Aussies looking pretty good. They will not have Sean Marsh anywhere near the team though, because his arm was broken yesterday by a Mitchell No, what's his other name? Cummins, that guy. Mm-hmm. They're all called Mitchell at some stage. He's Aussies, forgive me. Pat Cummins. He bowled a ball which hit him in the arm, and he has a broken arm now.
I know.
It's sad, but that's how it happens. Earlier in the day on Saturday, and again, this determines who plays whom in the semi-finals, Sri Lanka will be hosting, well, taking on India. Got to think India's going to win that. And yeah, that'll be your Cricket World Cup for the weekend. Then we're into the semis next week. And the final, which India will win. Now, look, I've got a bit of a rant. Okay. I say a bit of a rant. Mm-hmm. It's not very long because, yeah, I don't want to get myself in too much trouble. I've never cared about that.
Go ahead, Ben.
I'm trying to kid. Currently taking place is the Women's Ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's also cricket, right? Now, the Ashes was a long, long time ago, back when England was so smug. They lost to Australia and thought, oh, what an absolute disaster. Let's burn the stumps. And the Ashes then went into a little urn, and henceforth became the greatest rivalry in world cricket. Now, the women's sport is obviously way, way further down that this really got into what it is. And I'm all for it. Like, I've always been a massive fan of these tournaments taking place and how more and more competitive women's sport's getting. So, I mean, I'm not even going to try caveat this whole by saying there's a disclaimer. But I think it's absolute horseshit now that it's called a Women's Ashes. Can't they have their own thing? Can't they create their own thing?
Mm.
No one's burnt anything here. But yet there's a Women's Ashes? come on.
Yeah.
I think this is patronizing. I hear you. I think this is patronizing to women. And I think at the very least, it's so unimaginative. And the Ashes is a test match series. But here, you're playing the Women's Ashes, which is an ODI series.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
It's a load of bollocks. Mm. It's an absolute load of bollocks. So create your own thing. Create your own identity. I'm not saying the woman went out there and said, we want the Ashes. It was probably some middle-aged marketing man who said, well, let's make Women's Ashes. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
Either way, just stop it. It's stupid. Absolutely stupid. Create your own identity and be like the American women's soccer team. Look how good they are. It's a real product there.
The who?
The woman, USA women's soccer team.
Soccer. Yeah,
that's soccer.
It. That's it, sir. Be more like them. I'll tell you what, they can survive by themselves in the sporting world.
Soccer is actually more correct when you look at the way it's spelt, as opposed to the way we say it, soccer. Do you know what I mean?
I disagree. Anything the Americans say is not correct.
I'm usually with you on this one.
They butcher everything. I mean, what the hell's Arkansas? But they say Arkansas. Then they suddenly need to figure there's an H in herb.
Herbs.
You can't the trust herbs. Them. You simply can't trust them.
Spices and herbs.
And finally, let's cover a bit of football, which is the soccer again, but actual football. Frank Lampard is the new Chelsea manager. Now, I did not see this coming. I didn't really pick Roman Abramovich for being a bit of a nostalgic old sob. But yeah, Frank Lampard didn't do a whole bunch at Derby. Of course, he's their most glittering, celebrated ex-player. So he'll be leading things after that Sarri guy was given the flick. No one seemed to like him. He's gone to Juventus, and now we've got Lampard. Now, Lampard, he's basically got together a bit of an old boys club here. He's got Peter Cech as like a technical performance advisor. Didier Drogba and Claude Makélélé have been rumored to have a return coming soon. So he's getting a bunch of blokes that he trusts, but he's gone at great lengths to say this is not an old boys club. Just call it what it is. You and your mates want to lead a team. If it works, it works. Go back yourself. Give me this no old boys club bollocks. You're 41 years old. You've got bugger all experience. You've been brought back because you're Frank Lampard. You haven't been brought back because you're an incredible manager. Just appreciate what you get in life, Frank. And then Buffon. No, that's not just a hairstyle. It's an old Italian goalkeeper.
Nor is it Buffon.
Yeah, Buffon. He 73 years old now is Buffon, and he went to Paris Saint-Germain, had one season, didn't go well, and Juventus has taken him back. Jeepers, is there not enough Italian talent out there? And also, does this guy hate his wife that much that he can't just hang up the boots? Either way, Buffon will be back at Juventus with Chelsea's ex-manager and Ronaldo, and Juventus will try win the Champions League again next year. They'll try. Hopefully they do. So that's pretty much it for your sport. There is other stuff happening this weekend. The Irish Open Golf Tournament, or as it's known as the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open.
That'll take
place this weekend. Incredible golf course in Ireland. And of course, the Open Championship will be in Ireland this year. So,
Dubai Duty Free
Irish Open. That's it. That's exactly what it's called. And that's exactly what I'll be mostly mostly watching. But hey, it's Super Rugby final, 9:35 tomorrow morning. Women's World Cup final of the football, 5 o'clock Sunday, and Wimbledon throughout, plus cricket, 1:30 SA versus Australia on Saturday. That's your sport for this weekend.
All right. Well, thank you, Ben. I'm going to read this message directly as it came. This is for you, Ben. Someone says, "How in the hell have the Williams brothers never been checked for?" And they say, testosteroniosis.
Definitely. Yeah, look, I mean, I see where you're going with this, but it's just a bit of an old joke. Forgive me for being clinical, but yeah.
It's not clinical, it's just accurate. That's all it is. Thank you.
I was very interested to find out that, was it 1% or 10%? No, 1% definitely. Of the population, the world population, has cases like Caster Semenya, where there's this crossover of genes, male and female. Just really interesting cases of people either being born with presenting as male, with male genitalia, but they're actually female. Mm-hmm. And the other way around, a crossover of hormones. They're people that we know that live their entire lives like this, and they've never ever said anything about it.
It kind of makes sense. Think how many people are on this earth, right? Think how many people have cross-pollinated on this earth. Like, there's far too many of us humans. Do you think we're all going to come out as atypical male, atypical females? Of course not.
Wow. Yeah.
All creatures great and small, Sia. That's how
Jesus loves them all.
Jesus loves them all. I don't know how it goes, but I mean...
Yeah. Sunday school was a long time ago. Hey, listen, as Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general continue to evolve, Beyond Bitcoin brings you the rise and fall of crypto prices, what to understand about the surges, the long-time view on the opportunities, and how Revex is geared to helping you make the most of these markets. Download the podcast now on cliffcentral.com. Plus, buy any crypto bundles on Revex in July, and they will guarantee your investment for an entire month. Yeah. That's a whole entire month. So sign up and use a promo code RISKFREE, that's all caps, one word, RISKFREE, to guarantee your investment. Terms and conditions apply. Go to revex.com for more information. And then also another reminder, we have amazing new podcasts coming out of cliffcentral.com this week, one of them being APSA, The Interchange. So if you're a critical thinker and want to hear intelligent debate about important issues, then our new series, The Interchange, is just for you. In association with APSA and Zimong, The Interchange calls on some of the best university debaters to debate critical and controversial issues in South Africa and Africa as a whole. So the latest episode asks the question, is the era of state-owned enterprises over? That's one to listen to. The Interchange is available now on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Do you want some good news to get your Friday going as well?
Yeah.
It's time for Sid by Sia. So I saw the video of this earlier on in the week, because it's just one of those videos that people share on social media, and I thought I had to just talk about it. This is really a case of someone being in the right place at the right time. There's a fast food employee who was able to literally save the life of a child. So they work at a drive-through counter and noticed that there was a car that was lined up about to drive up to the window, but had stopped and was stopping traffic because there was a child in there choking. The mother was panicking and crying, and thank goodness it was the employee Logan Simmons, who was working at the drive-through, saw this and was able to intervene in time. So he's from Hall County in the United States and spotted the six-year-old choking inside the car, and he says, without even thinking, I jumped out of the window. Jeez. And ran straight down to the car. Once outside of the restaurant, Logan jumped in the car and found the little boy's mother begging for help with her son's seatbelt that somehow got tangled around the child's neck. Yikes.
Oh, I thought he was choking on food, and why is he in the drive-thru?
But I mean, what... you know, you hear fight or flight.
But yeah, those backseat seatbelts can be quite deadly.
But the mother just panicking.
If you
panicking,
get stuck in this...
Panicking in all of this and not able to do anything. Oh, yeah. Somehow and thankfully, Logan pulled out a pocket knife. So it just clearly walks around carrying a pocket knife.
Yeah.
Cuts the little boy free and prevented a possible tragedy. An hour later, just after going to the hospital and making sure that the six-year-old is A-okay, the mother came back to the restaurant just to thank Logan and really thanked him for saving her son's life. So really, isn't that a case of being in the right place at the right time?
That child would be dead if it wasn't for that guy. That's for sure.
And it's quite impressive. You know, there was this bit of a loop as I was watching the video of the guy jumping out of the window, running to
all
save
heroic.
The child. Yeah, if you played in slow mode, it's
whipped
quite
out
impressive.
His knife. Do people really still carry on pocket knives?
Well, clearly, and thankfully so, because this dude looks young as well. He looks like he's in his early 20s and carries this. So
sure,
that's some good news. Logan Simmons in the United States, you're quite an awesome guy for doing that. That's your Sit by Sia for this morning. And then just going to some of your messages quickly. Someone says here, a lot of the programs to assist the homeless require one to go through a self program, so you need to be sober or want to be sober, and this is a big detergent for a lot of the homeless.
Especially in the Cape.
And then someone else also says, actually, a lot of the homeless programs around the world are unused. The homeless people just don't want to go for various reasons.
Yeah, I've encountered that here, where some people have said, you know, so-and-so stays in the squatter camp because they actually prefer it that way. Mm. They don't have extra bills to pay and other things hanging over their head. Some people are actually fine with their lifestyle.
Yeah. If I can just booze all day, then... And, you know, some people might have left home even for reasons like they just had a fight with their siblings or something and they don't want to talk to their family all day. And now they just prefer living on the street and drinking and I don't know.
Like that guy from the Cape Flats who was missing for 6 years. And he was found in Eswatini and reunited with his mother. But they've never said why he was gone in the first place. And I think he probably didn't want to be on the Cape Flats anymore.
Family fights are a real thing.
And now the cops went on this whole search to help this woman find her son. And they found him. I mean, when I say son, he looks like he's in his 30s. But yeah, they're reunited, but I don't know how happy he is about the situation.
Anyway, all right. So let's wrap the first hour up. We'll be back with some more news stories. And also we have some guests joining us in a little bit. This is quite interesting. There's a new series on National Geographic. It's called The Hot Zone. You know how there's currently Chernobyl, which is based, of course.
Yeah, that was a hot zone.
Chernobyl incident. Well, The Hot Zone has debuted on National Geographic, and it's inspired by the first couple of cases of the Ebola virus back in 1989. It's an international series, but we have two of the stars, South African stars, who are starring in this international series. Mm. So firstly, I think we need to congratulate them and then also find out a bit more about the series because it really seems fascinating. And then we also have George Meany at the end of the second hour who will be giving us an update and a recap on all that's happening in the motoring world. But yeah, that's a whole lot to get into. This is the Gareth Cliff Show.
CliffCentral.com.